Yes, Eddie, good morning.
Hi, morning, how are you? Can you see the presentation
on
the
screen? Oliver Tambo, una sample.
Adam?
Yes, I can.
Can you see the presentation?
You missed it, obviously.
And then we'll see.
Hey, please.
Adam?
Yebo.
Can you see the presentation?
Yebo.
Oh, okay. No, I wanted to check that.
Okay, yeah. Can you put it in presentation mode? You can see.
Okay. Let me.
To check. Yeah. Chop.
Sure. Okay. No, it's fine. What Suen has done, she has put everything in this PowerPoint presentation, so we don't have to move from one document to another.
Okay. Cool.
All right. All right. Bye.
Thanks, Suen.
Okay.
Cool. Eddie, am I audible? Suen.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Okay. Chairperson?
Yes.
Yeah, it's exactly 9 o'clock. Permanent MPs in the committee, including yourself, we have got 7. And then the quorum to make a decision is 6, so we have got 7, and then alternate MPs, we have got 2 so far.
All right.
Start the meeting, Chair.
Thank you very much. Good morning, members, and good morning to our guests. I take it it's the leadership of the IEC, because the work we're doing today, it relates to IEC. I have seen Commissioner Mosotho. I have not seen the chairperson, but he did say he was going to join this meeting. I'm aware they have a tight schedule today because the Municipal Demarcation Board is giving the delimited wards to the IEC. So today they are making a joint briefing for the purposes of the local government elections and how the wards have been finalized. And good morning to members of the media. I think they are always with us. Like I always emphasize that the main role of the media is to hold us into account on behalf of the public. And the main role of ourselves as the committee is to hold the executive into account on behalf of the public. So our role in the main, it's intertwined, but very distinctive. So that is why from time to time we would extend our warm welcome. We are meeting here, colleagues, as you all know, that for the past 4 or 5 weeks, we've been discussing this amendment, deliberating, and we've arrived where we are now for a few reasons. One of the reasons why we thought last week we will close and deal with this matter next year, of these amendments, but it came to my attention that before we rise up, the House must debate this matter orderly and properly so that we don't affect the IEC schedule of the local government elections. So that necessitated that we deal with this matter. But be that as it may, we had already dealt with the matter in about 4 or 5 meetings, and issues were canvassed and properly addressed. I have said in other meetings that we were to consider, given the deliberations, whether we must do public hearings and so on. But on the basis that in the past, these routine amendments from the IEC were dealt with without that specific process, there is no reason to deviate from that, because we had had ample chance and ample time to engage the public comments as they were brought to us. And we have engaged them without fear, favor, or prejudice. At the end of what we have said, we said out of all which was raised, there were 2 contagious clauses. There were 2 at the time in all these meetings. And after serious deliberations from members, we have collectively taken a decision that we're going to suspend Clause 14 and Clause 21. We'll not be part of this, but we will, in an intervening period, deal with the issues after the IEC properly and orderly bring these matters to us. And we have considered to that. I think last week, Honorable Ross raised an issue about Section 8, and the IEC had properly answered. And I've taken it upon myself to engage with the information regulator. It was the matter relating to Section 8. It's a matter that involves another Chapter 9 institution in the Republic. And they had indicated that they are quite comfortable with it does comply with the regulations. And having answered the IEC, I think it was in the wisdom of the committee to accept that section as it is. I have received a letter, however, yesterday, an email from Amabungane, saying to me, I must remove the also Section 8 of this bill. And they given that it must be before 9 o'clock today. And I did take exception to such a letter, and I thought, with the respect I have for Amabungane and the way I think they understand parliament processes, they wouldn't write such a letter at such a late stage. They have been part of all the consultations. They have made written submission on everything. We have been going through this process with everyone who have raised comments. To write a letter yesterday and say before 9 o'clock we must have done certain things, I think it was an overreach, a bit acting ultra vires. I don't have powers to remove any section. It's the committee that decides on any removal and so on. When we remove Section 21 and Section 14, it was on the basis of serious deliberations from the committee members. So we will not have, we'll sit in a corner there and just remove this section or that section. It is not in the, we don't have that power. So the committee will discuss today. Today we're dealing with the A list. We're going to do clause by clause of the bill. What I'm going to do is to allow the legal advice of parliament to take us through the amendments as they were discussed last week Friday, and from there go clause by clause. So we'll take clause 1 and deal with it, clause 2 up until clause number 24. It is my intention because I don't think today we're going to get into discussions, deep discussions on the matter, because we have discussed this matter over and over and over again. So today we want to do clause by clause, and then anyone who has problems with the clauses they appear would have a chance to debate it in the House. But whatever we're agreeing, we have said that this is a routine amendment of the IEC. But over and above that, these amendments that we're doing and those that we said we're suspending will have a chance in the beginning of the year to further discuss them, further get research from the IEC and all the requests we have made around certain clauses that the committee had consent with. I have kept on saying in all those meetings that the technique of decision making, it's in consultation. So I think we're consulting, and we will continue to consult over any clause or any matter that arises out of the work that we need to do. So I don't expect that heavy discussions today, because we have already had those. So the agenda item today is only these amendments. I can take apologies, Eddie, if you have at this point.
Chairperson, from members, I don't have any apology. It's only that there's an apology from the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs. That's all.
Okay. I'm aware of the apology of the Deputy Minister. The Deputy Minister gave me a call this morning that he lost his father. So he's bereaved. And maybe we must take this opportunity to send, on behalf of this committee, to send condolences to the Nzunza family for that loss. We're with them in prayer and in spirit, and we will in due course maybe constitute a team that will form part of the funeral of the father of the Deputy Minister. Honorable Kotche.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and may I also convey my condolences to the Nzuza family. It's indeed very sad news. Chairperson, I'm just asking, when would you like us to address you on this issue of Amabongane? Would you like us to speak to it now or leave it when we do the clause by clause? Because unfortunately, Chairperson, I don't think it is something as simple as us just brushing over it, because I also received the letter and it is a legal letter. And the fact of the matter is they are complaining about our public participation process, which they say was inadequate. And I think that for me is concerning, because the fact of the matter is, if we proceed without taking due consideration of what they're raising, and it is fundamentally a bigger issue than just saying we don't have to deal with it, because what they're saying is they didn't have an opportunity to address us. They had written to us to make oral submissions. They're making the argument that it's not the sections they're complaining about is not routine or technical in nature, but it's substantive, and that it affects access to the voters' roll. Therefore, it affects the credibility of the election. And therefore, I think it's something that we must take very seriously. There are previous court cases in which the courts ruled against Parliament in terms of not giving organizations an opportunity to fairly and adequately engage with us on amendments to legislation. So I don't think it's just a case of us being able to brush over a chairperson, because they are saying that they wanted to engage with us through oral submissions, that made an plea to do so, and that they were forced at this very last minute then to write us this letter. So as much as I do take into considerations of the comments that you've made, we must also not take this matter very lightly. Because, for example, they are saying that the deletion of Section 2 where we now take out that section, actually, it takes us backwards, firstly, in terms of access to the voter's roll. They're saying that for people to be able to go to offices where they have to inspect voter's rolls, it's very onerous. Not everybody can travel, for example, to an IEC office, and therefore they want electronic copies to be made available. And when we deduct information, they're saying that the birth or date must remain. So if you're saying that we are still going to engage with these issues in the new year, then what stops us from parking this section as well, like we've done with 14 and 21, and revisiting
it? Thank you, Coach. We're not going to discuss this matter now. We're going to go to what we've agreed last week, and clause by clause. You'll raise those issues when you come to that clause, and we'll allow the process to, we'll allow members to discuss at that point. Otherwise, we can't be bogged down. We've been discussing for the past 4 weeks on the same issues, same bill. So let's deal with clause by clause. When you get to that clause, okay, then you'll raise whatever issue that you think is further contagious. Can I now allow...
Person?
Honourable Ross?
Chair, just on the issue of apologies,
yes.
Honourable Kenyela did extend an apology some time back, indicating that she was on approved study leave. I'm not sure why that didn't get through to the secretary, but just reporting that.
Okay, thank you. I remember on our WhatsApp group as the committee, she did indicate that she will not be available on Tuesday. I don't know why the secretary is not putting that on record, but be that as it may, let's accept that apology for record purposes. Can I allow you, Ms. Isaac, to lead us now?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair?
Yes?
My apologies. I just want to raise something in light with what Honorable Van der Merwe said. I don't think it is about the clauses that we are dealing with, Chair. I think it's about, a participation from organizations. And in one of our meetings, we have raised the issues of involvement of all possible organizations that may have an input. And my fear is that we might face a court interdict or court order as far as the participation is concerned. I think maybe if we can iron that out, I will be happy, Chairperson. Thank you.
No, thank you. I think, yes. Recognized?
Thanks, Chair. I think, Chair, let's perhaps propose, Chair, that we must be cautious of either delaying or interrupting the process that all of us we had been engaging in the past committee meetings. And I think the point that I made, Chair, both from yourself and the co-chair, are subjected to the process which you have outlined in terms of the sequence of the engagement on the clauses. And Chair, I will persuade you that, or persuade the co-chair also, that let's allow the proceeding of the process. And at that time when the clause is going to be tabled, we then raise those issues and have a firm approach on how we're going to deal with it. I think, Chair, because we'll be now wasting time on the discussion, because we still have to go to that clause. So if we can ground our views and allow the process to move, so that at least, Chair, we minimize time. We know that today we're presenting a BRRR in the House. So I thought, Chair, if we can be persuaded that let's follow the sequence of the process at that particular time of the clause, then these issues are being raised. Noting the issues that are raised by this Honorable Joe and Honorable Lisa. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks. I agree with you, and that is why I have said to allay everyone's fears that these routine amendments were dealt with the same way in the past. I don't see why we would have a deviation today. And I don't think we have, you know, having struck off Section 14 and 20 and 21, that was informed by all the submission we have received and deliberations from members. So let's allow the process. Let's take clause by clause, because we're expected to do that. By the way, this is an important work that we need to do. Because if we don't do this work as the committee, this may affect the local government elections timetable from the IEC. So any other matter, I think, would have arisen in the past 4 weeks. And those that are, that were raised in the past 4 weeks, we have dealt with them decisively and in an orderly and indeed a dignified way. So I want to hand over to Ms. Isaac.
Thank you, over. Chairperson. Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I am going to present the list of amendments that the committee agreed to in the previous meeting. I have combined them in one document to assist the committee for ease of reference. So I will be referring to the bill that was introduced, the A list, and the B bill, which is the bill that contains the amendments as proposed by the committee. So, Chairperson, the first amendment on the A list is amendment to reflect the correct wording in the bill. So it is a technical amendment in nature. So the first amendment is on page 2 in line 7, after 2 to omit, amend, and to substitute with delete. If Eddie can just switch over to the next slide and I'll just explain it as to how it will look. So if you can see on line 7, that deals with clause 8, the clause is being deleted and not amended. So that is merely to reflect the correct wording as it is in the bill currently. So it is to amend, to remove amend, and to now insert delete. If we can go back to the A list, on page 2 in line 12 of the long title, after assembly, we will omit this phrase, to authorize the commission to prescribe a different voting method. Chairperson, this relates to clause 14, and this is to correct the long title to reflect the amendments. So if we proceed to the slide 2, we will see how the amendment will now be reflected, so that in line 12, that wording there will now be deleted in the B bill. If we go back to the A list again, so the next amendment is on page 2 in line 20 of the long title, after addresses, to omit, to authorize the commission to prescribe a different voting method. This amendment relates to clause 21. So if you look at line 20, that particular wording has now been deleted. And if we move forward to the next slide, this is the new long title, and that reflects all the omissions. So it will now have deleted all those points in the A list. Going forward to the next slide. So again, the next amendment is related to clause 14, and the committee has decided to reject the clause. So if we move forward to the next slide. So basically, this is all deleted from the introduced bill. And in your new B bill, It is no longer there, and the numbering of the sections will accordingly change. The next slide is the A-list again, and the last amendment on the A-list is clause 21 on page 8 in line 14 to omit sub-clause 8. And if we move forward to the next slide, you will see that there in line 47, we are removing sub-clause 8. And if the next slide will now show you the how this amendment is now reflected in the B-bill before the committee. As you would see, sub-clause D has been removed. And that is, yeah, that is the new bill. If we move forward, so as a result of these amendments that were agreed to by the committee, we amended the objects clause, and that is merely to delete clause 14 to say that that no longer is there, and this will be deleted also from the memorandum of objects. So, Chairperson, those were the amendments that were agreed to by the committee.
Yes, you can proceed with the clause by clause.
Eddie, will you be able to just put on the B bill on?
Eddie, I can do it.
Yeah, okay, do it, Adam.
So we'll go clause, one clause, then we give members that way. Go, shoot.
If we start on the front page, page one. So that is the title of the bill, and these are the amendments as proposed by the committee. The next clause is the long title. Chairperson, if members have any comments on that, that is the where we've made the amendments that we just indicated now.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't think that we have a problem with what the committee has done as such, you know, in terms of the revisions and changes and what has been done now. Also with the exception and deletion of clause 14 and 17. For me, for what it's worth, the meeting is... Can I get an opportunity?
No, don't misquote. There's nothing on 17.
Now, the committee has recommended for the deletion, and at some meeting, we've
been told... Not of 17, of 14 and 21.
14 and 20, yes. Yes, that is what I want to say. 14 and 21. That was the suggestion. So for me, in actual fact, this meeting is done. The problem is adequate public participation. And I think that is the thing that what is now presented to us. I am happy as a committee member. The committee should be happy. We've dealt with it. We are happy. And to go in clause by clause is unnecessary because we've dealt with it. And now the revisions has been explained to us. The actual problem to me as a committee member is the adequate public participation, and that is the thing that we must deal with, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not taking what you're saying very serious, Honorable Mokhulu.
Chairperson?
I've outlined the process. It means you don't listen to me when I speak. I don't know why. The process that we're in now is a process that is required by law that we must engage into it. This is procedure that we're doing. So if you're happy with the bill, be happy. But if you have issues that you want to raise still on the issues that we have not raised last week, you'll raise them as we deal with clause by clause analysis. So I don't think we are really in order unless you want to understand about something else. And I've explained just now that we're dealing with the bill the same way we've dealt with, and the committee have dealt with this bill in the previous times when we're dealing with routine amendments. So if you have a problem with a specific clause, raise it when we come to that clause and raise a superior argument.
And I apologize, Chair. I apologize. I agree. I'm with you now of what you have said now. I apologize. I withdraw what I said.
Okay, thank you. Can you proceed? Can we get members who want to comment about this poaching? I'll see by the hand. I don't see any hand. Can you proceed?
Yes, Chairperson. The next line says, be it enacted by the Republic of South Africa and as follows, the following amendments. The first amendment is to Section 1 of the Electoral Commission Act. This will insert definitions into the Act. The first one is a district municipality, local municipality, and metro municipality. Chairperson, I don't know whether there's comments on the definitions.
You can proceed only here when members.
I support the definition.
Fine. Sure. The next amendment is clause two is to amend section 12 of the Electoral Commission Act, and this is to update the reference to now make it the Public Finance Management Act. The next amendment is to is clause three, amendment to section 15 of the Act, and that inserts those provisions there. There's no comment. The next clause is clause four. Clause 4 is an amendment to Section 15A of the Electoral Act, which repeals it.
Have you done Clause 4?
Yes, Clause 4 repeals Section 15A.
Just hold on, so that we don't waste time to come back. Let's go to Clause 1, members. Can we have a mover for adoption?
Lekwase moves, Chair.
Seconda?
I second, Chair.
Chaban, second, Chair.
Thank you. Clause 2, can we have a mover for adoption?
Modise moves for adoption, Chair.
Any seconda?
Lekwase seconds, Chair.
Any mover for?
I agree, Chair.
Seconda?
Modisa, second, Chair.
Those four, any mover?
Modisa moves for adoption, Chair.
Any seconda?
Lekwase, second, Chair.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. The next clause is clause 5, which amends section 16 of the Electoral Commission Act. This deals with prohibition on registration of parties under circumstances, and it makes the following amendments to the Act.
Any mover? Clause 5, any mover?
I move with the amendments made, Chair.
Any seconder?
Chairperson Molekwa, seconding. Thanks.
Thank you. Clause 6.
Clause 6, Chairperson, amends Section 23 of the Electoral Commission Act. Section 23 is related to the regulations. And it deletes up clause 3 in the regulations.
Thank you. Any mover?
Chabani move, Chair.
Any seconder?
Lekwase seconds, Chair.
Thank you. Clause 7.
Chairperson, clause 7 amends the Electoral Act of 1998, and this is to amend the definition of voting day.
Any mover?
Thank you, Chairperson Mulekwa. Accept that, Chairperson.
Seconder.
Chairperson, second, Chair.
Thank you. Clause 8.
Chairperson, Clause 8 amends Section 16 of the Electoral Act with the amendments as listed.
Any mover?
Chair.
Yes, Co-Chair.
So, of course, let me then just put on record the concern with this Section 8 in that, firstly, the requiring the only in-person inspection of the voter's roll, of course, Chairperson, hampers the work of anybody that wants to detect electoral fraud because, as you know, not everybody can travel to an IEC office. Maybe if you're in a rural area and you think maybe somebody that's on a voter's roll that's dead that voted, for example, then you have to now present yourself to an IEC office. So this section would have worked better if we could have included a, would have allowed for the voter's roll to be inspected through an electronic copy. And I don't think, I don't think that would have made much of a difference. But also by deleting subsection 2, which in the previous act read, the chief electoral officer must provide a certified copy or an extract from a segment of the voter's roll as it exists at the time to any person who paid the prescribed fee. Now, in this instance, this deletion of this clause is actually removing meaningful access to the voter's roll, again, for people who would like to play their role in detecting fraud. And so, of course, these are some of the issues that we needed to consider. I'm sure you did consider it in the last meeting as well, but I would like to place on record that those are some of the concerns that were raised. And again, I would like to agree with the Honourable McClure. We will face challenges in the fact that some people wanted to come and speak to us about these clauses and they were not invited for oral submissions. So I would just lastly flag it again that this remains a sticking point, Chairperson.
Honorable Chaban.
No, thanks, Chair. We move for the adoption of this clause, Chair. And also, Chair, noting that one of the issues you raised is around the time schedule and time routine of the IEC as we proceed towards local government elections. And I think, Chairperson, because we've dealt with this matter of the clauses in the previous 4 or 3 committee meetings, and extensively the IEC has built the foundation, Chair, the IEC, in terms of its responses and details. And a Chairperson, because there are two processes that are going to be unfolded until this bill is adopted. One is on the process of the NA, and two is the process of the NSOP, in which, Chair, at the earlier stage when this matter was brought to our attention as a committee, there was a process of public comments and public hearing, which we have a resolve on the public comments as part of the consultation process of this. Chairperson, we must also take to account that this year it was not a conducive year to do proper work, which has delayed all the work of, in particular of the IEC, this imposed COVID issue, which we can't ignore. Chair, and I think we must take cognizance to that effect. I'm comfortable, Chair, with the view that the information regulator has also, Chair, in terms of your opening, expressed comfort to this process thus far in terms of the clause 80. And I think, Chairperson, it gives us a foundation to proceed with this clause as we propose for its adoption. The rights that have been prescribed in terms of the discomfort if there's options to consider to deal with this matter. But Chair, persuasion, Chair, is that we're fairly comfortable to endorse this clause. You'll know that the IEC is accessible in terms of the information that all of us we need. There are processes of BAEA, Chair, that give us guarantee to access information that we sought that we want. And Chairperson, lastly, that I think IEC has been running for the past decades in terms of the process of this running the elections and the policies that have been governing this process, including this issue we're dealing with today. And I agree, Chair, that we take note of the issues that the co-chair is raising, but or have the view that, Chair, we must proceed with this clause with the comfort that the also the information regulator that Chairperson has made comfort to that matter. We've exhausted this issue, Chair, in terms of the process that we've been engaged as the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be quicker for the sake of time. We need to make it very clear to Home Affairs and to its subsidiaries or its entities that we cannot be put in this position again. The situation, it's put us in a very difficult position where we suddenly have an emergency that we now need to deal with. And it sounds like maybe the NCOP can save the day. But in this case, there was a pretty simple solution. And that simple solution is where it talks about political parties and independent candidates. You add an extra provision that says, and persons contemplated in Section 7 of the POPIA Act. And that will cover the journalists and the use for artistic purposes. But because we're in such a rush with this thing, we cannot make these proper considerations. So it's unfortunate. We could have put in a very simple amendment, just including these persons that are actually included. They are exceptions in the POPIA Act. And it would have been a very neat solution to cover their concerns and avoid what we could potentially face now with the whole act actually being challenged in.
Thank you, Ross. Item Kina.
Chairperson. No, thank you very much, Chairperson. On our side, we wanted to check. With these concerns, we don't know these concerns that have been raised. We never received the letter. We are not the Sangomas. We're not a Sangom. We are not going to predict what is in the letter. You know, maybe that letter would have been put here and then must be read and all those kind of stuff like that. I wanted to know, Chairperson, just a clarification is that what is the legal opinion on Section 8? On the deletion of that, the subsection 2, are we in line with the legal opinion in terms of the deletion of that? And also wanted to check on Section 8, subsection D, when it says that the chief electoral officer must redact any information appearing on the voter's roll, what information is that? Is at the end, my concern will be to saying that what is going to appear on the voter's roll afterwards? Are they going to delete the ID? The ID number and you will have the name, the surname, and the address being there. And also, I don't know maybe why will maybe people make a fuss in terms of trying to have this voter's role? Because if you wanted to have a voter's role and you want to do oversight on it, you can contact a specific party to have a look at it. Because if I look at the clause number, section 8B, number 3, it says that the election officer will provide copies of the voters' rolls, you know, to political parties, you know, and I've been going there to the IEC to go and get them with a flash disk. So I wanted to also check what is this specific concern really of this voters' roll, because if anyone else wants the voters' roll, they can get it from any other party and all of that. So I just wanted to say, I don't know about this letter, what two comrades are talking about. Number two, what is the meaning of the chief legal officer must redact any information appearing? Redact, censoring, what information will be censored today? What would be maybe the final product of the voters' roll at the end? Or what we'll actually get? And people who want voters' roll can contact political parties, I think. There have been people who wanted to do oversight, to do trending on the voters' roll. They've contacted us. We make those available. But it's the people that we know that will sign in terms of you're not going to use this information for your own rogue means, you know. Okay, thank you very much, Chair. So I think that on that side, that is the only clarification and my inputs that I would like to have. And I think that we must just calm down, you know. People must not speak on our behalf here. We don't have any spokesperson and say that we are happy with this, let's continue, whatever. We must just relax here. And then if there's an agreement, this is how we're going to approach a certain item. Let's listen to the chair and then let us move on in terms of...
Johnny, come late, man.
You see now? You see, Joe. you'll have a bumpy 5 years now.
No, thank you very much thank you very much for those progressive input, Ntina. Honorable McGrove, you know you are an alternate in this committee. You can't come here and disrupt. You don't vote. And then what I want to say, members, you see, we have discussed these matters 4 times in this very committee. And it will be surprising that at the end, Honorable Ross, I think you were a champion of removing Section 21 and 14. Now you already know why we're doing the final process. And if you had a problem in Section 8, you should have raised that thing when we started in the meeting. You only raised this matter last week and IAC responded adequately. And now we're doing clause by clause. We want to start a discussion when we are now doing clause by clause. I think we're not doing good for ourselves because we have been adequately given a chance to deliver it. Now that you, Amabungane wrote to you and request you to raise this matter the way you raise it, I don't think it's fair. And we're not going to be run by Amabungane calling individual members and lobbying them for this thing. I think it's inappropriate. It's not upkeeping with the public participation and the democracy that we are participating in. Members must participate, and all these matters that we are raising now about Section 8, it's matters we should have raised when we started with the process. It's matters we should have raised last week when we were finalizing the process. But after this lobby, then you come here and want to confuse the whole committee. And I don't think it's fair. And the committee must not proceed that way going forward. That's why Honorable Mtina does not have this thing. He was not called. He was not called and be lobbied. That is why he has a fuss of what exactly is the problem here. We have a problem because it's caused by Amabungane. I don't think it's appropriate. If people want to go to court about this process, you can go to court. Everyone has a right to go to court. But 4 meetings we have discussed these matters. We have raised consistently two subsections. And we have all collectively agreed with it now that these two are contagious, arising from a public participation process, which was public comments. And we have removed those as if we're not, we're doing something. Then last minute, somebody calls people, call members. Call members, no, go and raise Section 8. I don't think it's appropriate. But if we think it's appropriate, we may have to test it. But for today, we're not here for the purpose of discussion and deliberations. We've gone past the process of deliberations, but I'm allowing it. I'm allowing it. And I am going to take you, Honorable Lizette, then I'm going to one more time allow the IEC to clarify this matter. Then from there we vote.
No, Chairperson, we in fact are running out of time. We have to log into the NA. We accept what you are saying, but please understand that we are not saying that we want to copy and paste what Ama Bongani is saying into Section 8. We are simply raising a concern in terms of whether we've done justice to the public participation process. Because would it not have been better to invite them to a meeting like this to do an oral representation? So please, I don't think we should be insulted by saying we are now being lobbied to come and we're not discussing whether we want to insert word for word what Ama Bongani is saying into this section. We are simply raising a fundamental issue that says, have we done justice to inviting people to come and speak to us about the issues? So we can step off this item. We've heard what you've said, Chairperson, but we also needed to say we are concerned when people are saying they have not been heard. Because in previous court judgments, the court have said that when people have not been heard in terms of legislation, that becomes a problem in terms of us doing justice to the public participation process. So it's not to say that we want to see word for word what Ama Bongani said. We are raising fundamentally, first and foremost, the issue of have we heard them? Thank you, Chief.
You see, we are raising that you must lock on, but you are the one who's derailing the meeting by raising same matter over
yes,
and over.
Yes, I have.
We will also
the matter, we are conversing the same matter, which I said we are going to go through the process. And when we have a concern, you register it and we proceed. I think that's how we must be able to contain and run the meeting. This is not our last meeting. It may be our last meeting of the year, but we still need to work on a lot of other issues going forward. So I am saying if you had the very same concern, we should have raised the very same concern in the last week meeting. Same concern was supposed to be raised in the last week meeting or a meeting before to say this is the matter. But now that we're finalizing the process,
yeah, all but of a sudden, I've been in last week's meeting because I'd gone to my grandmother's funeral. Apologies for that.
Then you can avoid the dialogue. Honorable Lizette.
Order, Chair.
Please.
Honorable Lizette.
I'm calling the order to the chair as well. I think that chair, yes, you have.
I apologize. Apologies.
We must rule because they're not members one more than these other members here. So you have spoken, you have summarized. We don't know anything about any letter that has been sent. That letter is supposed to be sent to a secretary. We're not going to entertain any gossips here. If there are any issues, it's supposed to be processed properly through as a secretariat, presented to us, sent to us so that we can make our inputs. Please, man.
Why are you speaking to me like that? Like I'm your child.
People must raise their hands. Yeah, you must not. They're not members who are more than the. In,
it's fine.
Members, yeah, please, Chair.
It's fine.
Honorable
Musutu, can you speak on this matter for the last time? I want to go for the adoption.
My hand is raised, Chair.
I'm not going to recognize you at this point. I want to proceed to this meeting. Honorable Musutu.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to honorable members of the committee, the media, and all the guests. I think in dealing with the difficulties we faced, in relation to Section 16 of the Electoral Act, from which this Clause 8, has its genesis. We have, as we have previously indicated, consulted with political parties, with the Information Regulator, and others. And the issue, in truth, was not to withhold any record on the voter's roll that is used for legitimate purposes. And to show that, it is perhaps a misunderstanding to say the only way you check the voter's roll is you have to go to an IEC office. Right now, if you access us on the website, you will be able to check details of a voter. You can do so by calling our call center, and there are many ways of doing it. What this was intended to do was intended to stop the abuse on accessing personal information of voters, particularly their identification numbers, in a way that does not further the process of electoral practice. For persons such as the media, the information remains available. One way of doing so is when they access that information through PAIA. It happens all the time, and we give that information because it is, in fact, used for legitimate business purposes. But to keep information that we know, identity fraud in our country is pretty serious. To keep that information, we are required in terms of the POPI Act, as a responsible party, we are responsible to ensure the safeguarding of that information. That's what Section 7 really deals with. It deals with us as a responsible party, a party that gathers this information. And we will never, just to assure members of the committee, members of the media, we never refuse that information requested amongst others via PAIA. Chairperson, if it clarifies the matter, we are pleased. I don't know if there are any follow-ups you would want to make. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Can I move for adoption?
Sorry, Chair.
Mudisa moves for adoption, Chair.
Any seconder?
Seconds, Chair.
Thank you.
And I said it.
Thank you. Ms. Isaacs, clause 9.
Chairperson, clause 9 amends section 24A of the Electoral Act, which deals with voting in voting districts where not registered.
Any mover?
Sorry, Chair, can you just...
Accept, accept.
McLover?
Sorry, Chair, can you comment quickly on section 9?
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to check, Chair. Is it too late to propose maybe the Chair that, because if you say that parties must be notified on time in terms of those people who are going to be voting on that day, who are not residing on that voting stage, is it possible that, I don't know if the clause can be inserted to say maybe we can get that list a month before or something like that? Because remember, in my input last time, I said that is the problem we're having with the special votes. We don't have a time when do we get the special votes so that we can do our own audits. I don't know if maybe that can be put on the election timetable as well, as we are putting the certification of the voters' roll, inspections and all those kind of stuff. I don't know. I wanted to maybe to lobby the committee to say, let us put a maybe saying that, okay, that is fine, but provided that at least we must be having a list of those people who are going to be voting in different voting stations, maybe a certain day or certain weeks or month before, so that we can do our own oversight. I don't know, Chair. This is That is what I said last time, because so that we don't have a thing of fraud, if you remember my input last time. And I'm going to propose the same thing with a special vote when we go to another section as well. We put it on the timeline, on the election timeline as well, or the timetable. That by this time you'll get this list so that we can do our oversight. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right. Mr. Masutu, can you comment on that? And then Ms. Isaac, also comment on that one before we move.
Thank you, Chairperson. And it is important that we clarify what Honorable Chwaku is suggesting would amount to an amendment in terms of the election timetable is in fact part of the act. And so we take note of what he says, but because it has not been amended, it has not been done to amend the act in that respect. What we have always done with this is that all lists of special votes are in fact circulated and provided to political parties well in advance of the election taking place. And we will undertake to do that as we have done previously. You will recall that last week we did indicate that in any event, this is done to help facilitate the process of both the voter and any other person that would be interested in ensuring that no one votes in a manner that is unlawful. So we don't have a problem providing that information as we currently do with special votes. This is a part of that process that we will undertake for all persons that have applied to vote outside of their voting district of original registration. Now, thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I see your hands. I'll start with the, or these are old hands. Honorable Mwela, McClure, and then Ross, will you make that contribution after they are finished now, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. No. I raised it previously when I wanted to propose that we adopt the first motion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm not so sure whether I can participate now, but you know, as a member of parliament, I can go to any portfolio meeting, I can participate. Now there is allegations, I'm a third member, but I've said that about Honorable Mchwaki because he did not substantiate these allegations. That's why I said this is a Johnny come late, but I want to apologize to him. I want to apologize to him, and I want to be excused because I'm going to lock in for parliament now.
Oh, bro, thank you,
Chair. Okay, thank you. After you've delayed the meeting, you're leaving us, you see. Honorable Ross, can you make that question? Ross?
Yes, Chair. Sorry, Chair, I was kicked out of the Zoom meeting, so I missed which section I'm supposed to be contributing on.
No, I see the email you sent me that you about journalists and so on.
An election manager, he had my plea and then he had to write to the provinces to make this list available to the political parties. Some of the leaders, they actually got this list of the votings of the special voters a day before the elections. Others, they got them in the morning.
because you get excuses that, no, I don't have a way that we can get this at a certain day, maybe include it into your own timetable and say, by this time, political parties, come and get the list of your special voters, like they do with the votes, you know, like the voters roll and all of that. That is what I'm saying. Yes, they do make them available, but when, what time and date, it's still a mystery now, because we have to beg, we must go to there and must say people go there and stay there up until you are given this list. So I was appealing to the leadership, please, can you similar to this one of the people who are going to be voting in a different voting station. Let us commit that by this time, a week before, we are going to get this so that we can do our oversight. We don't have a problem with that. Thank you very much.
No, thanks. The issue is important. But I think it may be incorporated into regulations, because now we're doing the legislation.
Okay, sure. All right.
So, yeah, I think we'll make follow-up and oversight on the regulations, how it is being managed at that level. Is that sufficient? Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Can we move for adoption? Section 9? Mover? Mover for adoption? Do I still have members here?
Chair Chabani. Yes, Chabani, move for adoption, Chair, with that summary of...
Seconda?
I will help the ANC, Chair.
Okay, Mark Rupert. Mark Rupert, Section 10, Isaacs?
Clause 10, Chairperson, amend Section 27 of the Electoral Act that deals with submission of list of candidates.
Any mover?
Chabani,
Chabane, seconder.
Molekwa, seconder, Chairperson.
Isaac.
Chairperson, clause 11, amend section 28 of the Electoral Act. This deals with non-compliance concerning submission of list of candidates.
Any mover? McClure?
I'll move, Chair. I'll help the ANC.
Then seconder.
Seconding McClure, Chair. Chabani.
Thank you. Thank you. But it must be noted that we're a committee of parliament. We're a multi-party committee members. When we're at the committee, there's no EFF, there's no DA, there's no ANC. We work as a collective in the interest of what the Constitution has invited us to do.
And no additional members.
Can we go to Section 12?
Chairperson, Clause 12, amend Section 30 of the Electoral Act, and this deals with objection to list of candidates.
Mover.
I agree, Chairperson. Thank you.
Seconda. Thank you. Next.
Clause 13, Chairperson, amends Section 33 of the Electoral Act, and this deals with special votes in elections for National Assembly.
Mover.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Chairperson, on the 24th, we raised a concern about the 15 days being taken out. And the response from the IEC was that to commit that it wouldn't be less than 15 days. But now that commitment doesn't appear in this clause. So the concern was that you can't make it less than a 15-day time period, even though they can decide when that time period starts and ends.
Do you want to comment, Honorable Musutu? Not Honorable, sorry, I was called to order by DP that I called you Honorable the last time. Mr. Musutu?
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity. I hope we are not mistaken. We had indicated that the scheme was in fact to improve access by persons who would now not need to make an application if they are not in the Republic. To the extent that this information is going to be obtained, we will make that information. We undertook and we thought that it was accepted that we would make that information not less than 15 days. And one must indicate, Chairperson, that when we begin to talk about this, we then begin to talk about the period when we are already in the election timetable and certain activities cannot be done for excessively long periods. The minimum we have indicated we would do was 15 days, and we understood that 15 days would be reasonable, no less, if possible, more. And that's what we undertake to do.
Any mover for adoption of this section?
Chair, I will adopt. I'll move to adopt.
Yeah, that is progressive, Honorable Rose. Seconder?
Chabani, second, Chair.
Thank you. Next.
Next clause is clause 14. It amends section 50 of the Electoral Act, which provides for procedures concerning provisional results and voting material.
Any mover?
This clause must vote.
Seconder?
Seconded, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Chairperson, clause 15, amend section 99 of the Electoral Act, which provides for electoral code of conduct and other codes.
Any mover?
I move.
Any seconder?
Sorry, Chair. I wanted to check, where are we now? Are we in section, in clause 15?
That is correct.
I wanted to make an input quickly.
Yeah, take note, Mkina, that the BRRR has started. Are you not presenting?
Sorry, in there?
In the House, the BRRR process has started.
No, I'm not. I'm an alternative. It's just something very small, Chebese. I wanted to check that. Can we not please insert a clause there? It's very small clause that says that after the thing is the presiding, the counting officer has completed the form, they must make the result slip, copy of the result slip available to party agents. Because we've seen that. At the end, okay, I'm on clause 15, section 50 of the Electoral Act, here amended. So if you go to section 50, but now you put in subsection C, if you look at it there, and then you add, there's a line there you can say that, they're saying that you must put all these things, the number of ballots, supplied, the results and everything. And then I want to put something that says that all that information, these results, must be also be given a copy to a party agent. You know why, Chair? Is that there are instances where you find that these results, when they go to the results center, what has been reported in the voting station becomes different with what has been reported, which what has been declared or yabon. So we've seen that there is a proof. I mean, we will show you some of the proof we had, but we say it was not material. But we are proposing that we put in a clause where the results slips are also made copies. Maybe if instead of having one with the accounting officer living with it, we have a copy for the party agents so that we can go away with it. Yeah, well, so Benbuna, that small one sentence that says that party agents be given a copy of the bylaw of the results slip. That is a small sentence that I wanted to put to propose that. Can you insert?
Sure. Mr. Masutu, do you want to comment?
Yes, Chairperson. I through you, Chairperson, the proposal it's presents extreme difficulties. We have a nation that is uneven in terms of its resources. We have voting stations that are well known. They are temporary in many instances and don't have any facilities to even make a copy. But to alleviate the challenge that the Honourable Member is raising, we always have a copy of a result slip that is left at the voting station. We have a few years ago, there must have been three elections, general elections already. We have allowed political parties, observers, and everyone to access the result slip as is issued at the voting station through their cameras, taking a photograph of that. When we do the result slips, when they sign, they are entitled to take a photograph of that. And that solution has proven adequate. We have not dealt with instances where result slips go and at the processing office, the municipal electoral officer's office, we find they have been changed. The reason being the result slips are sealed at the point where they are signed at the voting station. They are sealed into an envelope which must be received on the other end intact. In incidences where it would be received with tampering, that's when it is not captured and an investigation is undertaken with the participation of political parties. So to alleviate the fear, Chairperson, one, we will not be able to guarantee that every station will be able to make a copy. They just don't exist. There are no photocopies or facilities at every one of our more than 22,000 voting stations. And that is the challenge we face. The parties, their agents, have access to the results. Often they capture them on their cell phones and they do send them in. At the result centers, at the offices where the results are captured, political parties have access to the captured results to make sure that those coincide with the result as was determined at the voting station. I submit, Chairperson.
Sorry, Chair, 2 minutes, I will not want too long. Yeah. For Mr. Umepane, let me give him an example. In the in these by-elections at Pokwan, the accounting officer captured all these the results. Now, when they sent the results to the IEC office, they found that they made a mistake. Now, the accounting officer took a new result slip because what they did is to combine the PR votes and the ward votes into one. She forgot that this is a municipal election. Now she took a ballot paper and she now, he or she tried now to say, okay, these are the votes allocated for a PR and these are the votes allocated for the ward. And then we now had to go and ask, well, where is the original slips? But that actually was not material per se, but we saw, okay, look, there was a combination and error here that was actually there. And there was another one, an example, a voting station where the EFF got about 4,500 votes. We've got that information, but we're going to write maybe a chairperson to the IC to show you. EFF got 4,500 votes in the voting station at Doornfontein in Johannesburg, Ward 1, 2, 3, if I'm not mistaken. But when it was sent into the office, they captured 5 votes. So that's why I was actually lobbying and trying to appeal to the leadership that
Is it possible that you don't have to print it there? In the same way that you carry ballot papers which are, you know, that have been printed, you could also have the result slips, which are four or five, or maybe even three or four, where we are able to say to write that information and copy it, you know, so that we don't have to come to you and ask, well, where is the result slip when we want to do our own audit? We have our own, you know, slips. And also you must remember that in many other areas, there are not all people have cell phones with a camera. And, you know, if I take a result, it's actually subject to a dispute. I still have to go and ask for, if I have a dispute on what has been counted and what has been declared, I must actually now ask for an access to that receipt. And how do I know that maybe that receipt is not being tempered and all those kind of things like that? I'm just saying, but I was just proposing, Mkhlekazi, Uguti, if you can make a copy of the results, the three or four of them, make them available so that we can take it away, so that we can do our own audit. No, thank you very much, Chair. That's my two cents. I'm just appealing and also saying that on the ground, it's different on the ground, what we see in what is actually happening on the national level. Thank you very much.
Do you want to comment for less than a minute?
Yes. Chairperson, I thank the honourable member. Just to point out that result slips are in fact security materials. To have a few of the same copy floating around will cause untold problems. Perhaps there's an opportunity outside of this, and when we look at the regulations, to listen to the member and see how best we can deal with it. But the proposed solution will create more problems because you have you know, security materials floating around, and that's really what we try and avoid.
Thank you. No
problem.
Any mover? Honorable Mdlina? Any mover?
Mover, Chair, for the adoption.
I can't move, Chair. I'm still hurt. I want that amendment. I can't move. I want that copy.
Mr. Conner?
Out on behalf of the ANC.
I second, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Next.
Chairperson, clause 16. This is an amendment to Schedule 3 of the Electoral Act, which provides for composition of National Assembly and provincial legislatures.
A mover?
What's up, that Chairperson?
As part of the also,
second
Chairperson.
Chairperson, we are now moving to the amendments to the Local Government Municipal Electoral Act of 2000, Clause 17 amends Section 1 of that Act in the definitions clause.
Mover.
Industrial statute.
Chair, want to move, Chair?
Any second?
Clothing.
Second, that Chairperson.
Warehouse and leather.
Thank you. Next.
Clause 18, Chairperson, amends Section 14 of the Local Government Municipal Electoral Act that provides for requirements for parties contesting election by way of party list.
Any mover?
SABS.
Mover, Chair. Chair, any move?
As on their audit thinking, we also
come. I second, Chair.
For the achievement.
Second, that Chairperson.
Thank you. Next.
Clause 19, Chairperson, amends Section 17 of the Local Government Municipal Electoral Act, and Clause 17 deals with requirements for ward candidates to contest elections.
Any mover?
The competition.
I agree, Chairperson.
Second?
Second, Chair.
Thank you. Next.
Clause 20, Chairperson, amends Section 47 of the Act, and it deals with voting procedure.
Mover.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Second,
Chairperson.
Thank you. Next.
Clause 21, Chairperson, amend Section 84 of the Act, and it deals with effects of certain irregularities.
Any more?
Can you please agree, Chairperson?
Second,
Deputy Speaker, could you also note the objection of the
Chair? Thank you. Chairperson, Clause 22 amends Section 87 of the Act, which deals with Electoral Code of Conduct.
Thank you. Any mover?
Order. Agreed, Chairperson.
Second?
Second, Chair.
Thank you. Next.
Chairperson, we come to the last clause, which is clause 23, and that is the short title and commencement of the Act.
Any mover?
Agreed, Chairperson.
Seconded.
Seconded, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. That is the bill that was put to the committee.
Thank you. There is a who's taking us through the small report that is there? Eddie? Adams, who?
Eddie will take us through the report.
Adam? Adam, can you move? Can you remove the? Okay.
Do you want me to share, Eddie?
Yeah, you can share it. Yeah, share it. It will be much easier.
Who's taking us through? Is it Adams or Eddie?
I will go through it.
Okay, please.
Okay. Adam, can you share it?
I'm about to
proceed in the meantime.
Okay. Honorable members, this is the report to finalize the bill. It has been tagged as Section 75, and then we are adopting the amendments. And then the first paragraph here, can you move, Adam? The first paragraph, it shows that when the bill was referred to the committee, and then when we also received the first briefing. Then paragraph number two indicates that we're amending three pieces of legislation, which is the Electoral Commission Act, the Electoral Act, and the Local Government Municipal Electoral Act in preparation for the local government election. Then paragraph three is this is the objective of the bill, which was taken from the bill. Can you go down? Then four, it indicates when the bill was advertised. As you remember that the bill was referred to the committee on the 23rd of September. And then we advertised on 11 October in, and then the closing date was the 3rd of October. And then it was later extended to 6 November. So here is in response to the public comments. We received through the website of Dear South Africa close to more than 12,350 submissions and another 28 from other stakeholders. And then we just highlighted here that the main issue that was raised it was clause 14 and 21, which the committee has dealt with. And then down there, 5.1 is the list of organizations that have made submissions, and then it is followed by individuals that have made submissions. Then on 10 November, the committee, that's when the committee received the submission by the content advisor, and then on 17, the IEC responded to the submissions. The committee further deliberated on the 23rd, which was last week, and then the bill, we are finalizing it today. And then the next one is the amendments that Suen went through on the A list. So that is the end of the report, Chair. So we need to have a mover and a seconder.
Any mover?
I move.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the acceptance of the report as presented. Thank you.
We second, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, DP. Eddie, what is next?
We're done, Chairperson. The only thing that I got a message that the bill could be debated on Thursday this week. And I'm sure also my unit manager has been in contact with the NA. So it could be debated on Thursday, but I don't know what time. That's all we're done for now.
So we are comfortable that when the man, if you have dealt with it close to close, does it mean you have adopted the entire bill as a committee? Or should we adopt?
Yes, Chair, because we have done clause by clause, so this is going to be on the record in the minutes.
Okay, welcome, Mr. Mashinini and the CEO and Mr. Bishiburi. I see you joined late. I did tender your apologies because of your busy schedule for today. The chairperson did indicate to me last night that the Municipal Demarcation Board has finalized the ward eliminations and whatever process that they were dealing with. And we appreciate that work. Like we always say, as the Committee of Parliament, we don't take light the work that you do, Chairperson, but you have joined us when I'm closing.
Thank you.
We have yes.
Sorry, Chairperson, I didn't want to interrupt you. I just wanted to lodge the fact that we reserve our right, the Democratic Alliance reserves our right to consult our caucus on the bill.
Accepted. Any other hand?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, Faith Mugina.
Yeah, no, also we will just, go through and we'll actually also go and make some further consultations as well on the bill. And then I also, sorry, Chair, maybe something maybe we can, something very important I forgot, especially on clause 22, man. I wanted to ask the guys if when the same Municipal Report Act provides a mistake in the certified segment of the voter's roll, or a finalist candidate does not invalidate the segment of the voter's roll. When I'm looking into that, actually I highlighted it, but I didn't raise it on clause.
We're done now. We've gone past why the statement you say you are going to consult, you will not revert back. So I was about to close the meeting.
I'm a Desmond man. Hey, this called Sharp Sharp Chapel.
DP, you want to say something?
I wanted to go to my friend Honorable Mpina, but it's fine if I send it to him.
Okay,
Chair, I think one thing that I think we're fine in the entire bill, Chair, is also Chair that we must monitor some of the issues that were raised by Fighter Fear, that Fight and Rene. That must be fine expression on the regulations, Chair.
And the fact that they are.
Thank you.
Thank you. The House has long started. If there's no any other thing that members want to raise, can I thank you very much for today's session? And thank everyone who was in attendance. The meeting is closed.
Chair.
Yes.
Sorry to do this just before you close. Please permit me to express our gratitude to you and the committee for the business today and throughout this process. We are grateful. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Msutu. Any other hand?
We'll see the meeting.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Mkhini.
Thank you.
The meeting is closed. The meeting.